Hey everyone, welcome to the Double Coverage Podcast. I'm Johnny Cassis.
I'm Andrew Cassis.
And we're lifelong sports fans and brothers who just love sports and grew up around sports and just kind of found sports to be our passion and thought we'd make a podcast, you know, giving our opinions and having little debates and having some fun talking about the thing that we love, which is sports.
Very excited for this, guys. Really happy to get it going finally. Follow us on our socials. We just created them on Instagram, Twitter, SoundCloud, and Anchor as well, if you do have that. We're on all those social media platforms at Double Coverage Sports Podcast. Like I said, really looking forward to getting it going, and hope you guys enjoy it.
So just to get it started off, me and my brother grew up in the San Fernando Valley, California. So we're huge Lakers, Dodgers, and then just to throw a wrench in there, we're Chiefs fans. Basketball, football, baseball. So that's really where we hang our hat in terms of the sports realm. If you're looking for that soccer coverage, my buddy Andrew can help you out with that. That's more of his forte.
We'll get into it, the unsung hero. So guys, as Johnny said, we are from California. We're not going to be covering just our favorite sports teams. We are going to be touching on a lot of major sports topics and all the teams that coincide with those leagues. Occasionally, I will throw in a little bit of the international soccer talk, as Johnny did mention before.
Maybe only during the FIFA.
That's more of my thing, guys. He's not really into it yet. Neither is my family. But soccer is definitely it's new to the Cassis household, but in the world of sports, it's big up there. So we're gonna touch on it.
So just as Andrew tells you, we're not gonna be focusing on LA teams. Our show today is mostly gonna consist of Los Angeles Lakers talk. We're going to be giving you some of our insights as to how we think the season has gone so far, give you a little recap, and then go into what we think the Lakers need to do to make sure that we're in the playoffs.
He might be suiting up for them soon. He's got a Laker jersey on right now.
Oh, yeah. You know I had to do the podcast in the Kobe jersey. You know, I'm in the white Kobe jersey, ready to go.
At least he's wearing the GOATs jersey. We got GOAT number two on the roster right now, LeBron James. We'll see if he can make that playoff push. But for now, we'll rock the Kobe jersey, and let's get this going.
Well, history tells you, well, I'll tell you how history tells you that I think he's going to be able to do it. So we're going to open up with a little talk about the beginning of the season, just kind of like our thoughts about how we thought the season played out and why the Lakers are where they are. We're sitting number 10 right now in the West, Andrew.
Yeah, definitely not where we expected to be at the beginning of the season, both from the front office and I guess from the fan standpoint. Sitting three games behind the Clippers right now, two behind the Kings. We're going to have to make up some ground here pretty soon. I'm pretty confident LeBron can do it. Percentages don't look too great, but hopefully we can make a push to get to the playoffs.
Well, not only make the playoffs, Andrew, we're trying to make some noise. So we're thinking maybe 7-6 seed, hopefully.
I don't want to see the Warriors.
You know, you don't want to see the Warriors in the first round, and unless you get to that 7 or 6 seed, you're in a lot of trouble. The 7 seed is actually where it's at, because then I think you don't see them to the Western Conference Finals, right?
Yeah, that should be the time that you would see them when you advance that far ahead. I think Denver would be we could be a matchup well with them. We'd be able to get through them. Be a tough series, but definitely don't want to see Warriors first round. Hopefully, they can make a big push here.
Well, I'm not really worried about who LeBron sees until we get to the Western Conference Finals and hopefully see the Warriors. I don't think there's a team out there that LeBron can't handle, not even just by himself, but, I mean, look what he did in the East. He was able to get to the Eastern Conference Finals every year in the East, and it was him and who knows who else. Basically, the Lakers team from 2015, when you look at it now, with Larry Nance and Jordan Clarkson over there. So, so we're going to get into it a little bit, go over some of the impressions that we thought from the Lakers season so far. Andrew, what do you think one of the big keys was for the Lakers so far? Why are we at number 10? What do you actually think? What's the big...
So, one of the things, I guess, that I've been harping on the whole season, and I've talked to you about it, you know, often, is the rotation. I don't think that players are given... a consistent amount of minutes. You know, you look at the stat sheets, you see that they're average, like players like Lonzo Ball and Kyle Kuzma, they're averaging 32 minutes a game. But if you're really watching the games, they're not in those late game situations every single time they arise. Luke has a tendency to kind of ride the hot hand, and it can sometimes bite him in the butt. Lance Stevenson sometimes, in my opinion, gets left out there a little too often.
Make him
you
dance.
Know, the make him dance Lance is great. It's awesome. I love the streetball flair. However, late game situations, it tends to kind of fall apart, and the stability just goes into the trash can. So we definitely need to take a look at that and hopefully get more consistent minutes throughout each quarter as opposed to each game.
Yeah, definitely, I can agree with you. I've seen some times where, you know, we have the second unit out there, and they do a decent job of of maintaining the lead, but it just doesn't have that same savviness that starting lineup does, you know, with LeBron in there and, you know, JaVale McGee, who's been through the ringer, you know, going through the playoffs with Golden State those years. So definitely see what you're saying about the rotation.
And in times of desperation, too, Luke is very hesitant to call timeouts. I've noticed that. When we're really down and the other team's making a run, timeout would be good in certain situations, and he just hasn't been able to pull the trigger there. So
you think he does that because he trusts his team? You think maybe that's a reason why he's a little hesitant to pull the trigger?
I feel like it's a double-edged sword. You know, you trust your team enough to compete in these situations, but you also have to be the voice of reason to where you need to call timeout, you know, rally the troops, get people back out there who can, you know, stabilize the game a little bit more and stop the run that the other team is making, because we're losing a lot of close games at the end. And that's been the Laker way, it seems like, the last couple seasons. And I do like Luke as the coach. He is, he's got a nice basketball mind. He has a good feel for the game. I just think that there's a couple nuances he needs to fix on, especially when it comes to who's getting minutes and when they're getting those minutes.
Yeah, well, his seat was definitely hot headed into this break. So glad to see from what we've heard from Jeannie that she got the vote of confidence from him. Says that he's going to be the coach, and that's the person that she hired, and that's the person she wants leading the Lakers. So, you know, everybody throws the name Brian Shaw out there as a replacement, but I honestly think Luke's done a pretty good job. I think that our main problem has been on the injury front, and that just goes with Lonzo being out, Rondo, B.I. missed over 10 games, and then I don't know if you've heard of this guy, you know, we haven't said his name enough already, but LeBron James, missing 18 games this year. I just want to give you some numbers. So, you know, Lakers have played 57 games this season, right? Mm-hmm. 28-29 record. Lonzo, Lonzo's missed 10 games already. Lonzo gives you 30 minutes a game. I mean, that's starter minutes. 10 points, 5 boards, 5 assists. Kind of like what he was last year as a rookie. I think he was with Magic and LeBron as the only rookies to ever average over 10, 5, and 5 or something like that. So big loss there. Then you go to Rondo. He missed 34 games with the hand. He gives you another almost 30 minutes, you another 9 points, 5 boards, and another almost 8 assists. Then you go to our third string point guard, basically, when you look at it. I mean, Brandon Ingram, I know he plays forward, but guy runs the point, you know, almost as much as anybody on the team, especially when Lonzo and Rondo are out. He gives you 33 minutes, 17 points, 5 boards, and 3 assists from Brandon. And then LeBron, like I said, has missed 18. Right now, he's given the Lakers 27, 8.5, and 7.5. Just unreal from that guy. It looks like he just puts up his genuine stat line every
you,
game.
You could take his stat line from any year and put it to any year, and you wouldn't notice a difference. Really. Yeah, it doesn't matter. You could it's unbelievable.
Yeah,
honestly.
It's crazy what he's doing this far in his career at this age. Lakers were hot starting the year, you know, 20-14 before LeBron got hurt. That was good for number 4 in the West, and they were just starting to figure things out. All those new acquisitions this offseason, bringing a guy like LeBron in and letting him get acclimated with not even just on the court, in the locker room. So I thought we did a great job starting the season. 20-14 looked real good to me. I mean, I thought 3-4 seed in the West for sure. And then LeBron gets hurt, and you get those 73 games combined missed from the 4 guys I had just mentioned, and that'll really do you in as an NBA franchise, especially you know, when you're a team like the Lakers who are young and, you know, I've obviously, as you saw at the trade deadline, trying to make moves. So injuries played a key factor. I think that was the number one reason for why we're sitting number 10 at the West right now. I think that if we were healthy, even somewhat close to healthy, and not played with these injuries, we would definitely be 4 or 5 seed in the West right now with LeBron geared go for the All-Star break, ready to make this strong push and go into the playoffs with some momentum.
You know, you mentioned injuries, Johnny, and I think it's a bit understated, and some people don't really realize that replacing that production from the injured player takes a lot more than just sliding another guy into a spot. You know, you put Brandon Ingram at the point, it's not just going to replace everything that Lonzo did. You're just now having another guy orchestrate the offense. But at a time when we had Lonzo out, Rondo, Brandon Ingram, and LeBron, those 4 guys, you could say, are our point guards. We have nobody left on the roster who is a true point guard.
No, those are the starting point guards.
Yeah, I mean, one point, we had Josh Hart running the offense, and we made a call down to South Bay to go get Alex Caruso.
Yeah, he's not a playmaker.
It's not a winning situation when you have to go down to your 5th, 6th string point guard.
Well, you're hoping Lonzo's back, and when Lonzo gets back, he comes in and ideally you have him starting.
A lot of hustle plays.
And then you go ahead and you get Rondo back off the bench, which is huge to have a point guard like Rondo off the bench. So you get those point guards back, and that makes a big difference. Actually, people who can run the offense, and you know, let people understand their roles in the offense. When you go ahead and you have that many injuries, and you have to play so many moving parts in so many different positions, it just becomes a whirlwind of problems because one guy can't do exactly what the other guy can do, and vice versa. So you know. Another major factor for why the Lakers are where they are right now, I believe, and Andrew's going to go on about it a little more, is the distractions that they face, you know, coming in from the offseason and during the season, just all the distractions that have been brought up in this Lakers organization. It seems like there's a storyline every other day coming out, Andrew, don't you?
I mean, just you factor in the trade rumors. You mentioned earlier that Luke was on the hot seat. Good thing though, LeVar Ball's been a no show this year, so we can kind of count our blessings for that one.
Kind of thought he was gonna be the biggest problem, and Magic was like, "No way, man! You're getting out of here to Lithuania, and you're getting gone."
The preseason was just LeVar Ball talking all kinds of mess. How his son's better than LeBron, and it's just good to see that he's not there now. And as big a distraction LeVar Ball was last season, the argument could be made that this season the trade rumors involving Anthony Davis. Have been just as big, if not bigger.
Oh, bigger, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, you really could say it is, because the effect that it's had on the roster, the amount of playing time guys have been getting because they've been involved in the trade rumors, I guess the general psyche of the team can be affected because they're thinking they're going to get shipped off one day to the next.
Look at the Indiana game. I mean, that Indiana game, they were all shells of themselves. Nobody had any confidence doing anything.
And that was with LeBron.
Oh, it was with LeBron. His first game back.
Yeah, first game with LeBron back. You know, a little bit of kind of walking on eggshells, I guess you could say, maybe. You know, not really sure of their place in the team, but...
Don't forget LeBron had a triple-double, of course.
He did have a triple-double, but did we win?
No.
We didn't win.
So now that we kind of discussed the problems that led to the Lakers' subpar first half of the season... just put a bow on it for me. Give me some of your main. Give me your last main takeaway. Maybe a moment that stuck out to you. Good, bad, indifferent. What do you think, Andrew?
I hate to be negative about a moment that has been kind of the, you know, defining thing of the season, but definitely the LeBron injury. I mean, we had plenty of momentum going into
buzzkill.
You know, like Johnny said, we're 20-14. We were top, not atop the West standings. We were in good position though. That really, for me, stuck out a lot because then it left a lot of scrambling, a lot of points that needed to be made up for, a lot of production that needed to be made up for, and then it just seemed like a snowball effect with the injuries. I don't think it's as bad as the record shows. I think that if we kind of, they can band together a little here, get a run going. LeBron's been able to do it before. I'm not putting all my, you know, all the eggs in the basket with just him, but if there's one guy who can, you know, really make a push with a team that's, you know, that people wouldn't say is that great, then LeBron could be the guy.
Yeah, I mean, I just, again, we've talked about it over and over again so far on the show, but injuries just played such a huge role in that beginning of the season. I just think the mindset and the mentality and where we're at in the standings and the wins-loss columns is totally different if we don't have as many injuries as we had to sustain. I'm going to be a little brighter. I'm going to have a little upside. I'm going to say my favorite moment was the game winner. Rondo in Boston, back at TD Garden, ready to go. Scramble play at the end. Thought we had no chance, and Rondo, somehow, it ends up in Rondo's hands, right there on the elbow. And I think he was in the air. I don't even know if he, like, jumped.
I mean, yeah, he jumped almost at the same time that he caught the ball, it seemed like he just kind of hoisted it up there.
It was perfect timing, and it had to be Rondo. I mean, it couldn't have been anybody else.
It's good that it wasn't anybody else.
Yeah, I agree. So, I mean, I just think looking back, that's one of the most fun times I had watching a basketball game, and especially because all that conversation was going on with LeBron and Kyrie calling LeBron to apologize, and going into the garden,
just another distraction.
And sticking it to him. Yeah. Just giving it to him in the garden, at home. And anytime the Lakers beat the Celtics, I get jacked. So I'm all over it. So now that we've talked about the beginning of the season, put a bow on it, put it in the past, over it, done. Let's look ahead. Let's look at the remaining schedules the Lakers have. Look at those playoff chances, and let's see what LeBron can do for us. Okay, let's see. Hopefully he can do for us what he has been able to do for the Cavs, who are seemingly 20, 30 years now, which is grab them by the collars and drag them into the playoffs. Andrew, what are we thinking?
I mean, I think, again, he's the greatest player we've probably seen in this generation.
Minus Kobe.
But minus Kobe, of course. The guy wearing the jersey has to get that in there. You know, 16 of the next 25 games, we talked about it beforehand, 16 of the next 25 games are against playoff teams. So we are going to need everybody on the roster at their best. Lonzo needs to get back fairly quickly, so we have a full roster ready to go to make this push. Tough stretch. I think it's, you know, it's not insurmountable. I think we can work our way up to the 7-6 seed. Not a lot of games separate them there. We're only four out of the 7 seed. And then after that, only 2 games separate all the teams in the bottom 4 of the playoff bracket. So again, it's not insurmountable. It's not impossible. We just need everybody's best. LeBron's going to give it to us. We know that. It's all dependent on the rest of the guys on the roster, if they can come up big and come up ready to play in this hard stretch of the season coming up.
Yeah, we got 12 of those games on the road. 13 are going to be at home. Like Andrew said, currently sitting 28-29, 10 in the West. We're going to give it to y'all today, guys. We're going to go through. We got every game marked. Already checked the wins and losses on there. Highlighted the key matchups. I got a key stretch that the Lakers are going to have to be able to play their best at.
Before we get into the schedule, the big question really is, can the Lakers get to the magic number of 17 wins in the second half of their season? History tells us 45 games in the Western Conference is good enough to make the postseason.
Yeah, so the Lakers are going to have to be looking to go 17-8 over these last 25. Currently, ESPN's BPI doesn't have those odds looking too great for the Lake Show. Under 6% to make the playoffs. Lakers only sitting at 5.8%. So that's not very good for Lakers fans out there. And they're projecting us to finish with a 39-43 record. So BPI doesn't see any chance that we're going to make it through this tough stretch. But unfortunately, BPI doesn't account for a guy named LeBron James. There's not a real stat for that dude.
Not really a formula for that.
So we're going to jump right into it. Coming right off the All-Star break, no babies, no bumps, no trials. We're going right into it. We got Houston, who very many people see as the front runner for the MVP, and James Harden. 31 straight games, over 30 points so far in the regular season, which is absolutely absurd. I think this is a game to watch. I think this is one of the biggest games to come on in the second half here. The Lakers need to get this dub, you know, get the momentum back on the right foot. I don't see LeBron losing this game. This is just a LeBron game. I can see him coming out, getting me 33, 11, and 12, and triple-doubling up just in front of James Harden's face, and to get the dub for the Lake Show at home. Andrew, what are you thinking on that one?
I'm going win here, too. You're coming out the All-Star break. You need a momentum push. You need something to get you through this tough stretch. Getting a win will just do wonders for this young core with LeBron leading the charge, and I think they get it. I really do.
In an interview today with Spectrum, LeBron says he's already in playoff mode. So we're already getting it. He's already ready to go, says he's locked in. A little earlier than he'd like to, according to his words. And again, that's courtesy of Spectrum Sportsnet.
Don't take those words lightly, fellas.
But yeah, locked in, dialed in, says he's in playoff mode right now for the Houston Rockets tomorrow. Give me the W for the Los Angeles Lakers. Then Saturday, we're going to be in New Orleans to face the Pelicans. I got us winning that game, Andrew.
Yeah, chalk up a dub. Chalk up a dub for that one. Anthony Davis might not even play.
Yeah, so that's what it's looking
like. Who even knows? They're reaching out to the NBA tomorrow to see if they can sit on the rest of the year, so that's a win.
Then we got Memphis again. Memphis on the road. Another tanking job. Battling for the Zion Williamson sweepstakes. I got that for the dub, Andrew.
Chalk it up as a win again.
And then at home against New Orleans again. I don't see the Lakers losing to New Orleans again. Just if it's to prove a point past anything else. After, you know, it came out that the Pelicans were actually toying with the Lakers and doing all the trade talks and letting the rumors out to try and get the dysfunction of the team up to cause some mayhem for LeBron because they thought the whatever. I don't think the Lakers are going to lose to them. I think we're going to blow them out the 3 times that we play them the rest of the way. Give me the dub against the New Orleans Pelicans.
Yeah, another one in the win column for the boys. You know, easy decision for me there.
Then that Friday, we are at home to who I think is the MVP. The Greek Freak and the Milwaukee Bucks make a trip to Lake Town. I'm going to give us a loss on that one. It's going to be a tough stretch. We're not going to win them all, obviously. And against one of the best teams in the East, we're unfortunately going to come up a little short there.
Yeah, giving us a loss there too as well, especially with Phoenix staring at us the next day. We might be looking ahead, maybe an easy win. Hopefully it doesn't turn out that way, but I'm going with a loss.
And then perfect, leading right into it. Phoenix on Saturday, second night of a back-to-back, 6 o'clock. It's going to be in Phoenix. What are we thinking, Andrew?
That one's a win.
Yeah, I got a win on that one too. Has to be a win. Yeah. It's one of those ones in the home stretch here. You can lose that game in the beginning of the year. Nobody really talks about it. You start losing those games at this back end of the stretch here, and that's really going to start slipping your playoff chances. And as we saw, the Lakers don't need any help doing that. So Denver is going to be next at home. Denver, what do you got, Andrew?
I'm going a loss on that one. I think Denver's a pretty tough team. I just don't think we're going to be able to match up at that moment. We got a lot more big games ahead that we're going to really need to make sure we're really focused up for. I think Denver gets us in that one, but I don't think that dooms us the rest of the way.
Yeah, I think Denver, this is a loss as well. Just got players all over the court. Really drafted well recently. Jokic, Murray, Harris. And they still got Will Barton coming off the bench, who I feel like he always scores 20 points.
He's been there like 10 years.
He always scores against the Lakers, too. I don't understand.
Always.
So I'm going to give us the L on that one as well. Then Saturday in Boston. I'm sorry, at home against Boston. Primetime game, Saturday night. You know the Lakers are winning that, right?
Yeah, there's no chance they're not winning that game. They're going to win that game. That's for sure.
I don't think there's a whole lot of Laker fans that will pick against the Lakers in the first place, but I'm not doing it. I can't do it. The Lakers are winning that game. LeBron's going to win that game. I just feel like every time LeBron plays Kyrie now, LeBron's going to win.
He's just proving a point, really. Absolutely. It's what it is.
And then this starts the stretch for me that I think the Lakers need to be at their tip-top shape. Now, while I don't think the talent that they're going to be going against is necessarily tip-top talent all the way through this stretch, I just think this road five-game stretch right here, We're gonna have at Chicago, at Toronto, at Detroit, at the Knicks, at Milwaukee. Okay, Toronto and Milwaukee are cream of the crop right now in the Eastern Conference.
Top two teams. I mean, you would say Boston. You thought it was gonna be Boston, but Toronto really coming out of nowhere with Kawhi, and Milwaukee's been great the whole way. And like you said before, Giannis, Greek Freak, MVP in my opinion as well. So definitely a tough stretch.
And I think Detroit is a team that nobody talks about. They're seventh in the East. I mean, they got with Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond and Reggie Jackson. I'm not saying they're star killers out there, but they're always going to give you a run for your money. And not enough's being said about Blake Griffin. Blake Griffin's been playing really well this year, totally revitalized his game. I saw him shooting step back 3-pointers the other day.
Yeah,
I couldn't
believe it. In the All-Star game, he shot a couple.
Regular. So we got at Chicago. I'm going with the win for the Lake Show, Andrew.
Win.
At Toronto, I'm going with a loss. I think we're going to lose that game at Toronto. Andrew?
I do think we'll lose that game. A lot of travel time, so that's going to be difficult on the youngsters. I think we're going to lose that game.
So not only are we on the road, that starts the first game of a back-to-back against Detroit the next night. I think we beat Detroit. I think we go in there, handle business. After that loss to Toronto, a little wake-up call for the boys, but I'm going with a W against Detroit.
Yeah, tough game against Detroit. I think it'll be down to the wire. Get the win, though.
At the Knicks, I got a dub.
Win.
At Milwaukee, I got another loss.
I do have a loss, yes. Yeah, loss in Milwaukee.
Then we get 2 days off, and the Lakers are headed back home against Brooklyn. D'Angelo Russell's coming out party. He's going to come back and lose to LeBron and the Lakers.
Yeah, LeBron's going to squash him. Yeah. I don't even want to hear about it. I love D'Lo. I love me some D'Lo. We both like D'Lo, but LeBron's going to squash it.
Yeah, we'll talk about the D'Lo love another day because that guy got a little robbed. Sunday, day off. Sunday, we are back at home against the Kings. I got a W there.
Chalk up another win for the Lakers.
Tuesday night at home against Washington. Another W for the Lake Show.
Going with a win there, too.
See, and this was a big game that I think you were going to touch on a little bit.
Yeah.
Second night, back-to-back, Wednesday night. Going against Utah in Utah.
You know what? This just seems like a classic Laker game to lose.
Absolutely.
In the last 6 years, really.
I agree with you.
It just seems like the classic one at the end that you get a nice run going, and all of a sudden you hit this giant roadblock. I don't think it happens this year. I was going back and forth before we started the show. LeBron gets it done. The boys come out with a win. It's a tough back-to-back, but we're able to get the win, and we move along, and momentum keeps rolling.
Oh, I cannot disagree with you more. I got the Lakers losing this one in Utah. Tough place to play. The altitude is a factor there, And Utah really brings it. I mean, they got some bigs out there with Gobert and Favors who can really get the job done on the block. We don't have a real true center. I guess if you call JaVale McGee a true center, I mean, I don't. Donovan Mitchell, obviously, rookie. Wasn't he rookie of the year last year?
No, he came second to Simmons. I thought he was rookie of the year, but.
Runner-up to Ben Simmons. Just a solid group out there, play hard, can shoot the ball well, and are well-coached over there with Quinn Snyder. So I got the Lakers losing that one. Now coming to Friday night at home against Charlotte. So I think I might have given you one of the best stats I've ever seen as to why the Lakers are going to win this game. I would put the house on the Lakers, put the ranch so on the Lakers, whatever you got, put it on the Lakers. Yeah, this is crazy. LeBron James is 23-0. 23-0. Playoff, regular season. They've played in the playoffs twice against each other. And LeBron is 23-0 against Charlotte and Kemba. Just chalk it up. Chalk it up now.
Yeah, it's a win for the Lakers. And it's literally because of the stat you just gave me. I'm selling the farm. I'm selling the Lakers are winning that game. Kemba's not coming in, especially not in Los Angeles, and coming to get his first win against LeBron when LeBron's in a playoff push. Just not happening.
So here then, going on, day off. Then we are back in New Orleans for the last game, finally, against those darn Pelicans. Tired of them. I got the Lakers winning. Obviously, they're going to be tanking by that time, the Pelicans anyway, looking for a draft pick. So got the Lakers winning that one.
I do too. That's a win.
Then this one gets a little interesting. We get Monday off, Tuesday night at Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm. And this was the tough stretch that I was gonna touch on. And it's kind of the back end, and it's not really the bulk of the playoff push. But this is a little scenario where you need to get two out of these three. You have Golden State at home. OKC, you've already beaten in OKC without LeBron James. Okay, now it's no easy task because they're going to be pushing for a higher spot too. Paul George is playing just out of his mind. But I think we're able to go in there and get the win after prior experience, getting the win with the young guys. Johnny, what do you think?
Yeah, I got the Lakers winning that game as well. Just another one that I just don't see you losing, especially given how late in the season you are, how tough of a obstacle making the playoffs is going to be anyway. And then you already hit on the next game. Golden State is going to be coming to L.A., coming to Staples, Golden State. Andrew, what do you think about that one?
I do think we lose that game. Yeah, I know we talked about it prior that maybe Golden State's resting some people. They're going to get up for LeBron James. There's a lot of history there. They're going to get up for him. They're going to be at their best. But I think it's going to be a loss there.
And then just the last three games here, we got the Clippers on the road. I mean, on the road, I guess that's
essentially
what you
call a home
it. Game. Yeah, W for the Lakers, Andrew.
W as well.
Utah at home. I think we're winning these last three games, so I got them winning against Utah.
I got the win against Utah. I do think we stumble on the last game of the season at home against Portland. I don't think it'll matter at that point. I think we'll do well enough to be able to lock in our position.
So if we're just going through it, going through the rest of the way, after looking at it, I have the Lakers going 20-5 the rest of the way. I think LeBron's going to put the cape on. Lakers will finish with a record of 48-34, probably get the 7 seed. That's the way that I see it going. Andrew, what do you got?
One win fewer than you. You know, it's pretty much, it's almost the same exact thing. It's I've got them going 19-6, finishing with a 47-35 record. Superman cape will be in full effect for Mr. LeBron James to rally the troops as we move towards playoffs.
Now, here's some interesting numbers that I was able to gather up looking at LeBron James and his second stint, his most recent stint in Cleveland. So, the last time LeBron James, the worst record he's ever had with a team in Cleveland on that 4-year stretch after he left Miami going back was in 2014. They were 33-22 entering the All-Star break. LeBron came out and got them to 53-29, was 20-7 with a 74% win percentage at the end of that season to make that push and get them in that. I think they were a top 3 seed that year. I think they were the 3 seed. To go ahead and get that top spot, to get one of those top spots in the playoffs.
Everyone thought LeBron was done that year.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
They all thought he was done and just.
And then last year was another year. They were only one game better than that year, than the year they were in 2014. That was 2017. And LeBron was 34-22 at the break. Ended up finishing 50-32, went 16-10 with a 62% win percentage. So, I mean, I know we've been saying it, just wanted to give you some numbers to quantify it. This guy is something unbelievable. And we're just hoping, I mean, and I'm sure all Laker fans are hoping that he can keep up with this greatness that he's been able to show. I know it's only been for a short time since he's been with the Lakers, especially with his injury. But he's got all the tools, a better team than he had in Cleveland, if you ask my opinion. I think the Lakers are going to be ready and geared up to go for this run.
Yeah, I think they'll make the playoffs here. Don't see a scenario in which they don't. Looking forward to how LeBron plays at this last stretch. That is going to do it for us tonight, guys. Really thank you for tuning in. Really excited to get this finally up and running. Be sure to follow us on our socials, Double Coverage Sports Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud, and Anchor if you do have it. We're also going to be up on Facebook pretty soon here. So just give us a shout out and hopefully you like the content.
Yeah, and just kind of going back to Andrew, just wanted to say thank you again, guys, to everybody for listening, for interacting with the page, for go ahead and liking anything. Please continue to interact on our social media sites. We'd love to hear from you guys, and we'd love to know what we can do better to make the podcast better. So again, just thank you for joining the ride, and look out for the next episode.